Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960, with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking. Good morning. Welcome back to High Desert Dialogue.
I know. You know what? I'm just going to jump in. It's my honor to welcome back Mayor Elizabeth Becerra from the city of Victorville to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. And I want to really jump in and do kind of a deep dive on this particular I don't know whether to call it a project, an initiative, or what, but Mayor, you're here today to talk to us about the ShotSpotter, right? And so what I want to do is please tell us what that is and how does it work, and then we're going to jump into, you know, why you guys decided to do this and the benefits, all of that, mm-hmm. and the overarching goal. But to get us started, just kind of, can you tell us what this ShotSpotter is, what it and how does it work?
And again, welcome back, Mayor.
Thank you, ladies. Well, good morning. Let's start off with that. But like you said, let's jump right into it. Our ShotSpotter is a gunshot detection technology. It's an acoustic system that triangulates a location from where a gunshot has been fired. Mm. So you and I have been there. We're in our homes. You hear what you think is a firework outside your home. What you don't know, it was a gunshot.
Mm-hmm.
So what this ShotSpotter does, and it's not in all neighborhoods, that I will say it's in two neighborhoods. It's in the Brentwood area. There's areas out there you can see it, and it's in the downtown Midtown area.
Okay.
So what happens is somebody fires a gun off, whether it's a small caliber, large caliber gun. This ShotSpotter can tell you the caliber of the weapon just by the acoustic sounds it makes.
Wow.
So it goes off. It is in the area of the ShotSpotter. It triangulates it, and it automatically sends a message to the ShotSpotter people that are watching it.
Okay.
That I can't say of how much exactly there is.
But it's account. Being monitored.
It's being monitored.
Okay.
They pick it up. They see exactly where it's coming. They call Victorville Police Department, and they tell them, I'm going to make it up 12345 A Street.
Mm-hmm.
A gunshot just went off. We triangulated it. Four or five shots came after. So now the police officer knows you have two weapons involved. One is one caliber, and you had a return fire. So now instead of sending one officer down there to maybe check somebody's firing fireworks, no. They're now sending two officers down there because there's no two weapons are involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, most of the people will hear it outside their home and won't call because it was a firework.
Right.
It's happened in my neighborhood, but
right.
mine is a firework because I'm sitting outside looking at them. So now people are calling in and saying, oh, well, it's a firework. No, it was a gunshot.
Okay.
And
then people have been afraid to say that it's a gunshot because I can't really tell you exactly where. I just heard it in my area,
in
right?
In your neighborhood, yes.
Yes, okay.
And it's getting within two of the accounts that I've seen, it came within 4 feet of where it was fired from.
So it's pretty accurate.
It's pretty accurate.
Okay.
It's pretty accurate.
Okay.
So there should be, it is against the law to fire a weapon in Israel.
Okay.
There should never be any legal that you're out there firing in the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting your home is one thing. That's totally different subject.
Right.
But firing a weapon in the city of Victorville shouldn't have to happen.
Okay.
And if they're out there doing it, whether it's in the air, when a bullet goes up, it's going to come down, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully no one gets hurt, but this is what we are trying to prevent. And the sensors pick it up. It tells the company watching it, and then it comes back to the police officers en route already.
Right.
So, because it knows it's a gunshot.
And this is all happening kind of in real time.
Yes.
So, from the folks who are doing the monitoring of it, and then they do the report to law enforcement, right?
Yes.
And then law enforcement opportunity to get out there.
Within minutes.
To address the issue. And this is helping us to discourage the use of firearms within Victorville.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I believe that I read somewhere that Victorville is the first municipality in San Bernardino County to implement this technology. Is that true?
Yes, it is. That we know of right now.
Okay.
So another city could have been signing papers and could have been installing and everything.
Right.
But actual working and getting the calls out, City of Victorville is the first. Wow.
So tell us, Liz, what was it, Mayor, that made the City of Victorville make this commitment?
We've had firearms being released in certain areas of neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So this came about us by saying we can tell you where they're coming from, whether it's coming from downtown, midtown, out by 395, even though there's none there yet, but mm-hmm. they can tell us where it's coming from. Because we do have the people like you and I that will pick up the phone and say, somebody is firing a gun in my neighborhood. Did they fire it again when the cop got there? Probably not. But at least with them knowing that the shot spotter is in their neighborhood, they'll think twice about taking it out.
Okay.
They'll think twice about, you know,
and
firing
so
a fire.
And so this is a way to deter, it serves as a deterrent and discourage the use of firearms within the City of Victorville,
yes,
right?
In the two neighborhoods, as I mentioned, Brentwood and Midtown Downtown.
Right. And so I was just going to say, I know that right now, because it kind of sounds like it may be more of a pilot program, you're trying it in two neighborhoods, see what the results are. I know that there had to be some type of funding investment that was made on behalf of the city to stand this up. Can you share with us what that funding source was?
So the funding source used, besides our LPRs, which are license plate readers.
Okay.
Okay, that was from Measure P. So now this is also another, where'd she put that? Sorry, thank you. Where'd she put that? No. I jumped down because I knew that was coming next. With a grant that came from San Bernardino. Nope, sorry. That was to.
Go ahead, Liz.
For we entered into a professional service agreement to utilize ShotSpotter
mm-hmm.
for 3 years at a cost of $473,000. Oh. We're using a state funding grant made
okay.
available through Assembly Bill 3229.
Okay.
And that is paying our contact fees.
Okay.
For us to expand, it's going to take. So just two locations is almost 500,000.
Half a million, okay.
Saving a life, wow. yes, is worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For us to expand, Measure P is already being used for our LPR readers, our license plate readers.
Okay.
We're already investing through our Measure P. We are investing the money through Measure P for safety of our citizens. It is something we need to look at. We need to look at in the long run besides our infrastructure, where we need to go to help our citizens be safe.
Okay.
And this is something that we are discussing, you know, for funding availability.
Right. So that, it sounds like to me, clearly more of a pilot program, which is wonderful because you got to start somewhere. And then also the data and the information that you will get back as a result of implementing this program will help the city to determine if this is in fact effective and you want to start to expand it, right? And if I understand you correctly, should you decide as a council on behalf of the city that this is something that you want to expand, then there are funding sources to help support and underwrite the cost of that investment.
And
do I have that right?
You have that right. And
okay.
we would need to, as yours and I dollar at our homes, what we pay to pay for certain things, to invest in our city's future in a more grant program with this, yes, we would need to look at funding because it's going to cost more. Two neighborhoods have cost us $500,000.
Right.
Two other neighborhoods continuing because of how many ShotSpotter needed to triangulate the area of the gunshots. We would need to figure out, okay, a larger area,
mm-hmm.
there maybe we would need to put more in that area because of how close the where the ShotSpotters are placed, they would have to place more to get a larger area. So 500,000 covers these two neighborhoods, then other two neighborhoods could cost us more or less depending on where ShotSpotter is placed.
Right. So the overarching goal, Mayor, for this particular program is predominantly to discourage the use of firearms within the city of Victorville. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
It's the safety of our citizens. It's the safety of everybody who passes by. It's the safety of you as a neighbor.
Great.
You don't want to hear your neighbor firing weapons because, like I said, when a bullet goes up, it's coming down somewhere.
That's right. And then if our listeners want to learn more about this particular technology and this program, I know you guys have a website that has a lot of information, a lot of resources and information on there. How can they learn more about this particular project?
We have a communication platform. It's called Victorville Connect. It's our digital newsletter.
Okay.
You sign on to our website, City of Victorville, and it'll take you from there. You'll sign up your email, and every time something new comes out, an announcement, a different platform, what we're doing, it will come out on this platform, and it'll give you an update of what we got going monthly. And not just for
that's
this,
great.
But for Parks
that
and Rec, things like that.
Yeah, that's a great way for...
Victorville Connects.
Yeah, Victorville Connects. That's wonderful. And then also, you know, always encouraging community to get involved. You know, you do better when you know what's going on in your community and your voice can be heard, right? And so please just remind us of when your city council meetings are, because I know you're always encouraging the public to come out and be a part of. And so can you share with us when your city council meetings take place?
Our city council meetings are the first and the third Tuesday of every month. But also when you go onto the website of the City of Victorville, as a city council member, our emails are on the platform, are on the website.
Okay.
Email me. Email me if, and just because we went to districts doesn't mean that I can't listen to what your concern is.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a concern, whether it be shots in your neighborhood, whether it be the parks, the road, the bushes in your neighborhood from your neighbors,
right.
Email us. Let
right.
us know, hey, there's been a car abandoned down the street for the last 6 months. Because we also have the new website that you can log on to. And
okay.
If you see graffiti, if you see a pothole, if you see an abandoned car, trash in the neighborhood, you can pinpoint it on a map and it lets all those divisions know we have an issue out there. So we do have to, so you don't have to call anymore.
Okay.
Someone's not going to ask you where exactly. How many, you know, what color is the car? What color is this? Is it a loose dog? Is it trash? You can go on this website. You can pin it on your phone. It just doesn't have to be Apple. It can be Android too. You pin it on the phone and it goes to the division. They can get out there and see what it is.
Okay.
So even
and
if
tell
you
us
don't,
that website again.
City of Victorville.
City of Victorville.
And you can sign up there, the City of Victorville website. Our emails are there. Our phone number's there. You can leave us a message there.
Yeah.
We need to hear from you. We're 95 square miles and we're not in every single part of the city. We need to know what you got going on in your neighborhood.
Right.
Help us help you.
Yeah. Be the eyes and ears.
Yes.
Yeah.
Help us help you.
Be the eyes and ears.
It's a great resource.
Well, Mayor, we want to thank you for coming and sharing about this ShotSpotter. It really is an interesting program. Looking forward to seeing the results of you know, what takes place over time, how effective it is, and the outcomes. You know, and anything that's going to help save lives, preserve lives, make people feel safe and secure in the neighborhoods in which they live is a plus. And so we thank you and the council members, you know, city manager and staff and all of those people who help make these things happen for us, right? We want to thank you guys for that. And I also want to extend an invitation to have you come back and maybe come back with Simba Center to talk about the Wellness Center. We'd love to have an update on that because that now has been active for...
Year and a half.
Yeah.
Year and a half. We're going on a year. We've graduated 172 residents.
Oh.
Wow.
So 172 people. We weren't able to help everybody coming through the doors. But 172 people graduated to move on to permanent housing, maybe to move on, go back home.
Yes.
None of us know what everybody's got going on in their own world
right.
there. And they've been able to help graduate.
But to be a positive solution.
Yes.
And roll
yes.
back
yes.
to a healthy lifestyle. So we would love to have you back to give us kind of an update on that. because it is a wonderful and much needed facility in our community, and we definitely don't want to lose sight of the great work that's being done there. So again, want to thank you for always answering the call and coming to share with us so that we are well informed. Just really appreciate you and the great work that's being done in the city of Victorville.
And I want to thank you, ladies. Thank you for everybody listening. Thank you for paying attention and coming out and listening to this, because the conversations they have here is what is affecting us on a day-to-day basis, everybody. Tell your friends, family, everybody. We need to listen, be involved, get involved. Email Regina of what else we can talk about.
Yes.
What else is everybody's concern? Thank you for being here. Thank you, ladies, for the invitation. And yes, we'll be back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for your support and kind words.
Thanks for the shout out.
Well, good morning, Roxanne.
Welcome back, Regina, and our listeners. Thanks again for listening.
I know, and it's another wonderful autumn weekend.
Yeah, if you're if you missed any of our episodes too, you can always go to talk960.com. At the top of the page, click on podcast, and you'll see all of our past shows. So thank you again for all your support.
Yes, and keep listening. So we're excited. I'm really excited, Roxanne. To welcome back to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. Two of these ladies are very talented, and they represent the Quilters Peace Corps.
Yes, you may have heard of it.
And we had a ball with them last year. I went to their event. Mm-hmm. I don't mind sharing that I ate a lot.
Yeah.
I shopped and my favorite things.
You can shop again, and everybody can. Their event's coming up again.
And my husband had cookies. We call him the Cookie Monster, so he was in heaven. Mm. So we just had a great day at one of these events that they're going to be talking to us about in a few minutes. But today we have Rita Padilla and Diane Quinn. And they're here to talk to us about some of these annual events that they've got going on in the community. So, ladies, welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Now, I believe that both of you are quilters. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay. And can you tell us how long you've been quilting? So, Diane, how long have you been quilting?
More than 40 years.
Wow.
Wow. So you're really good at what you do. And Rita, what about you?
It's been about 25 years.
Okay.
Yes. And Rita, I'm just for a second going to single you out, because the way that we met is you were doing quilts for veterans.
I still do. Mm,
yes.
Very nice.
And they were amazing and beautiful. And I think you and I met right before COVID.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe 2019. We were right on the cusp of that, and we met over at Victor Valley College.
Yes.
Because you were presenting some beautiful quilts to some of our very valued veterans.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
Thank you.
So for those who might not be familiar with the Quilters Peace Corps, I'm going to ask you to kind of give us a little brief history about the Peace Corps. And Diane, is that you who's going to give us the history?
Yeah, I certainly will. Quilters Peace Corps began with a small group of women. I can't remember whether it was six or eight women.
Okay.
We now, though, have over 100 members.
Oh, my gosh.
They started the Guild in 1983, and it's a nonprofit group that meet monthly to learn, perform, and promote the art of quilting in the high desert. We meet at the Percy Baker Center on the first Monday is our meeting, and then we have workshops and other things going on to promote the art.
Yes, and I will tell you that the quilts that I saw that were, because there were a lot that were raffled off, and then there were a number of them that were on display, is amazing, Roxanne.
I mean,
just the artistry.
And
is
the passion that it goes into making something like that.
Yeah, it made me say, when I decide that I want to give it a shot, that's the hobby I'm going to take up. I'm not there yet.
We always welcome new quilters.
Ah, see, we can learn it. Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll go together.
That could be a New Year resolution for us.
All right. Good. So you guys have been doing your annual fundraiser, the annual show, for about 20 years or so.
Yes.
Maybe more, right?
Probably more, yeah.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about the funding that gets raised. What does that go to support?
That normally goes to different organizations. We try to focus with the High Desert area.
Yes.
We do the cancer quilts, and where we have the quilts that mm-hmm. say what cancer cannot do. And those are given out to different people.
Mm.
We do the wheelchair VA, what do you call those?
Lap robes.
Yes.
For them. We do fidget mats for patients with Alzheimer's and different things because they need things to focus on.
I saw those.
Yeah, those are a lot of fun to
yes.
make. Chemo caps for, you know, people that are losing their hair for chemo, or they get cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to keep their heads warm.
Yes. Especially this time of year.
Yeah, Rose of Sharon, various things. Of course, quilts of honor.
Yes.
You know, I got to throw that one in.
Yes.
Aprons for hospice, because, you know, they as you're in hospice, they need something to help protect their clothing. And different food pantries we try to donate to.
Yes.
We do a lot. We look for different organizations.
Absolutely.
And it's great you're in the high desert,
yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and we focus high desert.
And I know you spoke a lot about, Rita, the organizations or the sectors of community that benefit from these quilts. So those who are cancer patients, those who are veterans, those who are dealing with autism. But I also know that some of the funding that's being raised by you guys goes to organizations that provide scholarships, some of our nonprofit organizations. I know domestic violence organizations here in the High Desert have been a beneficiary of the funds that you guys have raised. And so I say thank you on behalf of all of those organizations, especially our nonprofits. Before we wrap up, tell us once again how people can get tickets or what's necessary for the quilt show on November 1st.
Admission is free, so you don't
best
have to
price.
Buy tickets.
Best price.
It is November 1st at the church in Jess Ranch.
Okay.
11537 Apple Valley Road.
Okay.
You know,
on November
that's behind
1st.
Target, too.
That's also behind Target.
Yeah,
okay.
A little
1st.
Further down Apple Valley Road, but yeah.
Okay.
Look
yes.
for the blue and yellow flag.
Yes.
You'll see a quilt show, a big, giant feather flag out there. We just want people to come and support our local community.
Yes.
Because we are the nonprofit that helped channel the funds to go out. Our fire victims, our cancer patients, all the different types of our veterans, all the different types of things that are necessary around
us,
and let people know we're not forgetting you. We're going to include you.
Yes,
and
that's what I love
this.
About the work that you guys do is that there's so many benefits to it. It's a place to come together and you know collaborate and get supported if quilting is your thing. It is also a place where you do work that's intentional to help the community. So the funds that are being raised go right back into the community, and you're looking to help sectors of the community that don't always get noticed,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
And that's hugely important. So we thank you guys for that. Before we wrap up, tell us, if someone missed any part of this, but they want to find out more information, dates, times, locations, all of that, maybe somebody is inspired and they want to join the group. So tell us how they can reach out and contact you to make those things happen.
They can always call my personal cell.
Okay.
Area code 209-712-1371.
And that's Rita?
Rita.
Right.
Rita.
Okay. And Diane, is there a website? Is there an email address?
We have a Facebook page with Quilters Peace Corps. But the peace is spelled P-I-E-C-E.
Yeah.
As well as you can go to our website, which is also Quilters Peace Corps. If you just put that in with Apple Valley, Hesperia, anything. Yes. And again, we meet the second Monday at the Percy Baker Center.
Okay, there in Hesperia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right off of Maine. Okay.
Yes. One of the things I wanted to point out is one of the things we did this last year was not only did we donate through the Red Cross $500 to Eat and Fire, but we also participated in collecting and quilts for the fire victims that were to be distributed to them as the need came. So, you know, we try to move out a little bit from just the high desert, but the high desert is our primary focus.
Where there's a need and where you see that you could fill a need.
Correct.
And that's great work all day, every day, ladies.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you for coming in again. This is year two with us.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully there'll be a year three, Roxanne,
yeah.
that you can come back and share. I'm looking forward to showing up and getting some cookies. Well, I won't tell you all of what I'm going to do, but I'm looking forward to being there.
We look forward to seeing you.
Again, want to thank you, ladies, so much for the work that you do and the love that you share with our community. And so whether you join them on October 11th or November 1st, this is definitely an organization that's worthwhile supporting. So thank you.
Thank you.
How do we do?
Wow.
Great.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.